Blog Talk Radio.
Cook, and it's a good story. And we have a really great show today. The music was not turning off, so you might not have heard my voice soon because it just kept going. And my computer is very temperamental lately, probably because I had like 30 programs going at the same time. All right, there we go. All right, we have a really good show today, and it's good to be back. And Bethany is with me today. Hi, Bethany. How are you?
Hi, Marcia.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And, that seems like it was a long time ago. And yesterday I was on a show with Virginia, so I guess this was supposed to be my first day back, but now it's my second. So, but Bethany, it's your first day back. So now we here are 2013, which 13 has never been the great number, but I'm looking at it this way. For me, it's going to be a very good year for everybody. And today's show, we don't have like 20 guests like I usually do, like 10 guests or 5 guests, but we have really a really very interesting person. Sue Ayers is on, and I found her on Blog Talk. She was on one of the Red River shows, and I was looking for, you know, somebody for blogging that I thought was really good, and I remembered that Michelle Davenport had a show, and then I went in to Red River, and then I listened to the show, and then I asked Sue to be on. There's a lot of things that she's going to talk about, and I think before I... Yeah, I'm just going to say about a Thursday show for 1 second, so because when we get it to the discussion, we may not have time. Bethany Cross, you are on the show with Fran this week, right?
Right.
And Fran, I wrote a lot of things up for Fran. Fran's got shows booked, I think, till like, who knows, June. She's got them, you know, really yeah. booked. Okay. And she does. And Fran Lucy, she has a great show, and Bethany is with her on the show. And let's see, if I wrote it all down here. She's got a show this week. It's Cheryl Bradshaw and Lisa Bennett. And it's at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. And it'll be a great show. And then JD has her show. It's Storytime, and it's really a good show. And Emelina from No Clues, No Shoes will be on the show, also telling about a book that she might think is good for the kids. And it's going to be her show on Saturday morning. It's a lot of fun. It's only 15 or 20 minutes. It's four kids, and JD reads a story to them, or the person, or the author reads the story. And it's a real cute show, and it's doing really, really well. And you can listen to it live or on demand. And all of our shows are on demand or iTunes, and they're, you know, they're repeated over and over again. And so if you miss a show, it's fine. And it's also on World of Ink Network, and it's also on Michigan Avenue Media. And Bethany, do you want to just, Bethany has four books. You want to talk about your books for 1 second? I just want people to know, because we hardly get time to talk about that, and I don't want to do it at the end. So do you want to mention your blog and your books?
I've got four out with Rebel Ink Press. Mr. Thursday Night, A Simple Seduction, Curiosity, and Masquerade, and more coming in 2013, hopefully soon. My blog is Romance Erotic Style on Blogspot. And also, Marcia and I have a blog, authors Bethany Cross and Madison Montgomery Talk Romance on blogspot.com. And we're on Facebook.
Which is all romance.
Yeah,
and
all romance.
Right, and we're promoting a lot of the authors that do romance. And it's a good thing because it's kind of, we're not, everybody's on Amazon, Smashwords, and all these other sites, but this is a contained for just romance, so if people are looking for romance books, you know, they can come on, and all our guests are welcome that have been on romance, you know, our the shows, because we're actually going to do a romance month again in February. They can just email me, and we can put you on our blog, and, you know, with a little bio and your pictures, and we're happy to do that. And if you have never been on the show, that's fine, too. Just email us, you know, you can go to World of Ink or Michigan Avenue or at Bethany's and tell us and we'll, you know, set you up and put you on there and you can be on the shows because we're going to have a lot of shows in February for Valentine's Day. We're making it a whole month of romance. And there's a lot of other good shows on. And what else do you got? Anything else going on for you? Or you got a new book coming?
No.
You got a new book you're doing, though, right?
I have several I'm doing. I'm just finishing them up. I've got like 11 finished. They're just not good enough yet.
Well, they will be. You are a good writer. You are. And let's see. Oh, my Virginia Templeton series will be over soon, and the book is coming out. It's called Stepping Up Your Game, and the cover I just got today, and it looks really good. And I actually tried to do a video, and it worked out really well. So I'm trying to learn new things. And for everybody, I'm trying to market, help people market, and Michigan Avenue is trying to do that, so we're trying to do it affordably for people because I know with the, you know, the economy's not good, and this actually marketing, which Bethany and I know, it's so hard. I mean, it really is, and so, and that's one of the reasons we're going to have a, Sue is on, she's going to also talk about, she's a really very successful blogger, and she has a child with juvenile diabetes, and that's what we're going to focus on, and she does a lot of things, and so I'm going to introduce her, and she's going to, you know, talk about all the things that she wants to talk about because she's got a lot going on. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Marcia. Hi, Bethany.
How are you?
Hi, Sue.
Okay, you
I'm
can
well,
you can probably
you. Happy New Year.
Yes, yes, Happy New Year. Now you can tell everybody who you are and what you've got going because you really do. I mean, we think we got a lot going, but you got a lot, really a lot going here.
It seems like a lot right now, which is good. I'm always grateful that I've been blessed with so many opportunities, even in the face of the challenges, like you talked about with my daughter having diabetes. I have a website, SueAyres.com is my website, and I created it in 2009. I was a training designer for Circuit City Stores, and I worked at the corporate headquarters, which it was located in Richmond. And, of course, Circuit City closed at the beginning of 2009, and I thought this is a good opportunity for me to begin freelancing. So I created my website, and I started to partner with various groups in and around Richmond and also nationwide. Began to do a lot of freelance and web design and things like that. And from my website spurred a blog, which I don't blog as frequently as I should or as frequently as I want to because of time constraints, but I try to cover topics if I know people are struggling with things, just topics that really women experience, time management, how to balance things, getting older, different things like that, that I just feel would appeal to a wider audience. And that's what I am focused on. After having my website for, I guess, about 9 months, my daughter was diagnosed in January of 2010 with type 1 diabetes. And that was a real challenge. I'm a single parent. And having to administer all this medication, I'll test her blood sugar so many times a day, make sure that she is taken care of at school while I'm at work, all of these things was very, very scary and very frustrating and challenging for us. And I began to write a column for richmondmom.com, a very renowned local website here in Richmond, Virginia, and start informing people.
You want to say that again? Can you just say, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can you just say that again so we can, you know, because people can hear it's Richmond?
Sure. RichmondMom.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And began putting together sort of like a weekly column. It's called Life with a Type 1 Kid, if anybody's interested in. They're in the archives now, a couple of years later. But what I wanted to do was just sort of document our journey and the challenges that we were experiencing. You know, the type 1 kid goes back to school. Emily went to a camp specifically for type 1 diabetics back that summer and made some friends. And it was a lot of resources for us. There was a doctor on staff and nurses on staff 24/7, and it was a place that I felt like she could go for 10 days and just be a kid, but still have people all around her that were.
How did she feel when she got the diagnosis? How did she feel? I mean, what was going through? Did she discuss how she was feeling with you, or you know?
It was very difficult.
Kids don't. Yeah.
She because of her age, and she was in fifth grade. She was going to, you know, starting into sixth grade, that transition time is difficult enough. Middle school is hard for a kid. And, you know, here comes this girl, and she's wearing an insulin pump. And the insulin pump, for those who don't know, it just, you know, it's just like, you know, how you bruise sometimes if you get a shot or a vaccination or whatever. Well, imagine that, those bruises, like three times the size and just all over her body. Wherever the insulin injection site goes, that's where she would bruise really badly. And so she has this pump. She's all bruised up. She has to go to the nurse's office several times a day. And it really started to affect her emotionally. She really struggled. And felt so different. And when she was in elementary school, she was the only kid in the school with type 1 diabetes. When she got into middle school, there were three other kids besides her. So she wasn't alone. So she still had a little of the camaraderie with some of the other kids. But it was a very difficult time. I noticed it with her grades, and I noticed that she just became very introverted, and she wasn't herself. In seventh grade, I decided to remove her from school because of all of the challenges she was experiencing. I just felt that a homebound school situation would be the best for our family. So I removed her in April of her seventh grade year. And her doctors, you know, discussed it with us, and we all decided it would be the best thing for Emily to just get well and sort of focus on, get strong emotionally and physically. And the county, our county that we live in, Henrico County, sends an instructor to the house four times a week to work with Emily. And she's doing so well that I think she'll be ready to go to high school in the fall and start her ninth grade year. It was a great decision to just remove her from the situation. It really helped her to heal all the way around.
Yeah, because it didn't get worse. Because sometimes if the children, you know, when they're kids, you know, they'd hold it with them. But that's probably smart. Now she's going to go to high school, and then she can, you know, deal with what she has to because she's grown up. You know, it's kind of hard at 11.
Yes, at 11. And she's matured so much. And just working with her doctors on a variety of, you know, ways to handle certain situations and things like that, where I feel like if she didn't get a break from that, and you're just in that situation every single day, it just becomes difficult to cope. So she had a breather. She's doing really well.
And does
I have
her sugar
my happy
stay,
little girl
does
back.
She go up? Does her sugar stay pretty, you know, even? Or does she go? Does she have a lot of ups and downs with the sugar?
Mm-mm, she's really fortunate. She's got a terrific A1C. Her doctor is so thrilled, her endocrinologist, every time she goes, that it's 6.1, 6.2, which is really, really well under the limit for the U.S. to, you know, I think it's 7 point something.
So she goes to an endocrinologist. I think they're great. I think people don't realize how good it is when you get yourself to an endocrinologist when you have a problem, because they really deal with the whole body.
Yeah, and he is so good and just, you know, knows about how, you know, she was, so for instance, like when she first was diagnosed and she started taking her insulin shots, then she just would turn a ghostly white, and then he was able to have some additional tests done and come to find out that she also has a thyroid problem, so he can treat her for that. And
right.
He sort of knows, like,
yeah.
how, yeah, these different things go hand in hand.
People don't realize it, but endocrinologists, they're really, you know, they can find problems that other doctors cannot.
Exactly. And you know what else, too, is one of the things you had mentioned about the fluctuations in blood sugar, mm-hmm. and that really has, and people don't realize, and I certainly didn't, but that really has a major impact on somebody's emotional well-being, because
yes.
when your blood sugar is low, really she gets shaky, she can get really, like, disoriented quickly.
Yeah.
If her blood sugar is too high, she can become, like, a little mean, you know? She can be a pistol, and
really?
I'll say, hey,
yeah.
you know what? You need to go check your blood sugar. And so,
awesome.
You know,
yeah.
when it's
you
in check,
tell, yeah.
she's fine, but if I notice something off about her,
yeah.
hey, go check and see if you need some insulin or you need to drink
yeah.
some water or get some exercise.
The pump, yeah, I'm sure that it's a great thing for you to have the pump for her. I mean, that seems to be one of the greatest things, I think, that came into. Is that true or not, the pump?
The pump is really good because it eliminates the shots. She still
yeah.
has the challenges of needing to check her blood sugar after or before every meal, before bed, when she wakes up in the morning, if she feels high or low throughout the day. So there are continuous glucose monitors to monitor that. We have chosen not to go that route because, first of all, she didn't want to have something else attached to her body, and I didn't blame her. But secondly, I didn't want to get lackadaisical with this. I want to make
yeah.
sure that we are on top of it. And I feel, yeah. and Emily felt too, and after discussions, that if she was responsible for testing and she was being proactive, she would be more in control rather than a machine telling her, hey, you need to eat some sugar, or hey, you need to, you know, I just wanted her to be more in tune with her body. So we chose not to go with the continuous glucose monitor. We did, however, choose an insulin pump, and it has been really good because it will just, you know, throughout the day, we can set it to when her basal rates go up or down, she'll get more or less insulin, and you still monitor it,
yeah.
but you don't have to worry because she's, just like your pancreas is always producing insulin, the pump is always producing insulin.
Now, about meals. Now, when does she decide what she's going to eat, or do you decide, or how is she doing with that?
Kids with type 1 diabetes
yeah.
can eat anything. They can have sugar, and they can have pretty much anything that the rest of us eat. Emily has always been a really healthy eater. She's always liked to eat fruits and vegetables and things like that. So it's not hard to cook meals for her. So she... and she's also a dancer. She takes 3 ballet classes a week, and she's
oh,
on point
great.
Now. So she's, yeah, and she's really like, oh, I got to watch my weight. And, you know, so she's really discerning about what she puts into her body. So that's really good. And, you know, that she has that, and she challenges herself to stay healthy so she can, you know, continue in dance classes and, you know, feel good about herself and things like that. So the meals, that's really not a problem. And
a lot of times people
yeah, she
really
knows,
think that's going to be the problem, because a lot of people go, oh, you know, I mean, I have a lot of food allergies, and like when I go out to eat, I mean, I'm not worried about it because I'll just do, I don't have anaphylactic where I can't breathe, I just, where I'm not feeling well. But the thing is very interesting, everybody around me is like, what are you going to, like, I don't even care. I'm going to have a good time and whatever. And everybody around me is like watching me, and I go, just, it's okay. And I've made a decision now, because by the time I start telling people what I need to, you know, like if I say, take this off and take that off, I sometimes just get a salad and I just go like, fine, I'll eat later. I don't care. But everybody around
yeah.
me, it's like, why don't you try this?
It's not worth it.
Yeah. You know, and so, but, you know, and it really doesn't bother me. I don't care, you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I think that, you know, I think that that's what people think, that, you know, when people have a certain condition and they try to watch what they eat on certain things, you know, just leave them alone, because I think it works
right.
out, you know,
exactly.
because they know what they could eat. But, you
and
know, people place
there
everything.
Needs to be... Right, and there still needs to be so much education about the difference between the two diabetes. You know, people look at Emily and say, oh, you shouldn't eat that cake. You shouldn't have that piece of candy, whereas she can because she'll give herself enough insulin to cover it. The type 2 diabetics, I think they have that challenge that they should avoid those types of things. Diet and exercise cannot control type 1 diabetes. That's the difference between the two. With type 1 diabetes, your pancreas just stops making insulin. Your body no longer produces it. With type 2, your body's still producing it, just not enough. So you can control it with diet and exercise, whereas with type 1, you can't. So people still say to her, oh, should you be eating that? And I think it's, you know, you're a girl. You don't want to hear that from people. You're already self-conscious enough. So
I know. Well, they're always telling everybody. Everybody always tells everybody what to do, you know. And it's like,
exactly.
You know, it's okay. You know, Bethany, did you want to ask anything or say anything? Or?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. Hey, if anybody should want to call in, you know, we have a lot of we're live, but we do have a lot of most of our shows are done archived because a lot of people are working,
okay. And
certainly this time. But if anybody does want to call in, the number is 714-242-5259 if they have a question for Sue. It seems like you've got it really, you know, where you handled this and you have the blog. But now do you also on your blog, you know, I read your blog a lot. You have a lot of inspirational people on. You're very successful as a blogger. When you said that you don't blog every day, I have read that if you don't, sometimes it's better if you don't blog as much because not every day does everybody want to read everybody's blog.
Right, exactly.
So how did
That's
you,
exactly
so how do you,
right.
Did you incorporate that when you were doing, did you talk about foods? Did you talk about, you know, anything special when you first started doing the blog about diabetes, you know, adding that in?
That was different. I think I did blog pretty much every week or every other week for a couple of months, but then it sort of fizzled out on its own. I mean, there's only so much you could talk about. I talked about her going back to school and
right. Those
challenges, going to camp, daily challenges, you know, family challenges. Emily has an older sister, Rachel, who's 16. Mm-hmm. So she was 13 at the time. And, you know, how when you have a child with a chronic and life-threatening illness like diabetes, you tend to focus, but you have to keep in mind, of course you would know, that you know there's other kids in the family, and so it was really challenging to try to make sure that her needs were met, she didn't feel left out. So I would blog about those types of things, just managing, you know.
Was she concerned that she might get it too? I mean, you know, that would be probably,
yeah,
you know,
how about
yeah.
that? I'm so glad
yeah.
you asked that, Marcia. She was worried about it, and so it our endocrinologist, and we go to the pediatric endocrinologists at MCV Hospital, the Medical College of Virginia, and they're a wonderful group, and they have a trial going on for siblings of type 1 kids. So Rachel was able to get into the trial, and she goes every year in the summer, and they test her blood to see if she has the beta cells
mm-hmm.
for type 1, if she has, you know, if... And if she has these beta cells show up in her blood, then she's more at risk. There's only a slight risk with siblings, but fortunately, she's gone 3 years now, and 3 years she's been negative each time. So that's something that
Good.
She chose
right.
to do to sort of monitor. Now, if she ever does show up with those beta cells, I think there's an oral insulin that they can try with her to try to circumvent the disease from becoming
yeah.
full-blown. But we haven't had to cross that road yet.
See, luckily they have come up with so many different things, and people are so much more aware of healthy eating than they were before, you know. So I think that,
yeah.
you know, when you, like you're saying, type 2, I think people don't realize that type 1, you can eat certain things. So that's, you know, that's kind of good because it's like you're not cutting, sometimes if somebody wants something sweet, they might want to eat, you know, something sweet.
Right.
And they're not feeling, you know, that they can't have anything. You know, like even with kids now, I mean, when kids have peanut allergies, or those are very devastating things. And, you know, I think people don't take them seriously enough, but
right.
nuts are in a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And kids, when they go
Happy
to parties.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You know, Now, in schools there, I don't know about in here, I've heard in Chicago, like a lot of the schools don't let the parents bring in, you know, cupcakes and things like they used to do for birthday parties.
Exactly.
They kind of monitor
the same way here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't, on a field trip, you can't bring peanut butter anymore, peanut butter crackers or anything like that. If they're going to have lunch in the classroom, it has to be peanut-free. And now, because of all the, you know, school safety issues, there is a safety container in each classroom, and now there has to be items in each safety container for diabetics. So, Emily, so in each classroom at the elementary school level, at least, there would have to be Lifesavers and glucose tablets or a juice box or a bottle of water. So if they had to be locked down in the classroom for a prolonged period of time and she was high or low, they could treat her right in the classroom.
Oh, that's a really good, you know, that's really good. Because, you know, I mean, those are the things that you have to think about. I mean, now, unfortunately, we have to think about those things. But, you know, so that's really, you know, kind of a smart school system that does that, so they don't have to have
a
problem. Yeah, I mean, you know, who thought this was ever going to be problems like this, but it is.
I know.
You know, so you seem to, you know, I mean, you went through a lot, and you've done, you know, remarkable with that. Would you have any, you know, what would you tell the people when they, if they ever get this diagnosis? Unfortunately, there'll be a lot of people that do, because there are so many people, adults and children, diagnosed with diabetes all the time.
Absolutely.
What would you say is the thing they should do first, maybe, you know, to...
Well, most of the people that I know, and, you know, I joined a support group. That was the most important thing that I did. The most proactive thing was I found a local support group that met monthly at a local church. And then there's also online forums where people come and... Sometimes you do, it's great to have great doctors and great nurses, but sometimes just talking to another parent, you know, that's just priceless. And so that first thing that I did was I got online, I found a forum, and I would just post my questions constantly, and people, they were so reassuring. And
they're mother questions. They're like mother questions, not questions for the doctor, you know, because they don't answer that kind of questions, right?
Exactly.
You know, or dad,
exactly
mom or dad questions, you know, that you have that, you know, the doctors don't necessarily, you know, discuss with you because, you know, I mean, they discuss the medical aspect, but there's so much emotional that goes with everything.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I was terrified for months. I would wake up all night long and go in and check on her because my fear was that her sugar would drop in the night and I wouldn't know it. So, but the thing that I learned is when her sugar drops in the night, she wakes up. Now, I'm sure
So she wakes up automatically when she feels?
Oh, yeah. She wakes up automatically. So I'll hear her going downstairs at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I'll yell out, "What are you doing?" And she'll say, "Oh, I got to get some juice. I'm low." And sure enough, you know, her body will wake her up. So I had to really learn that, she will be taken care of. Trust the process.
You know what? She sounds really responsible. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it does depend on the child. Not every child is probably going to be that responsible because she sounds like she's got herself together here, that she knows she has it. She deals with it. She, you know, she's probably maybe from the ballet that she's kind of, you know, knows what she wants, you know. I mean, people...
In tune.
Yes. And I think that's good because I think a lot of kids don't want to be and maybe aren't, and that's why their parents have to stick on. They have to. You can't, you know, you have to. But she seems to be very responsible and the type of person that will kind of go with the punches, it seems like. You know,
and
I don't know her, but
And you're exactly right. And the thing, you know, and I... Had I known that, and I didn't have to get up 5 times a night and check on her, but the first several months, it was very difficult. So it really helped me to talk to the people in the support group, to talk to the people on the online forums, and just have that sort of reassurance. And I have really strong family support, and Emily's father was very supportive. Emily's grandfather is a cardiologist, so he was very helpful and providing support and networking opportunities for us. And it was like reach out, ask questions.
I think that's one of the good things about the internet. You know, I mean, there are several things that are really good about the internet. You know, people say, but support. You know, you can ask your friends or this one or that one, but if they're not really going through it, you know, they
right.
want to be your friends, but they, you know, you really sometimes need to talk to someone because honestly, they don't know. You know what I mean? They,
right.
You say you
Absolutely.
Know, but you don't know. You only know when
exactly.
you're living with it in your house.
Right. Right.
You know,
and people
so
will say, oh, well, it's just, it's food. It's a food thing. You know, if you watch your food, and it's not, and there's so much more to it than that. Of course, it's manageable, and you don't want it to become, you know, you're the diabetic, and that's
yeah.
what defines you. I never wanted that for Emily, and I think that she's really rose above that challenge.
Yeah.
But just to, you know, to deal with it on a regular basis. And if I was going to give advice to anybody, I would
yeah.
that would be the first thing that I would do is just reach out wherever you can. And I think, you know, the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation, the JDRF, they are just a huge resource. They actually, you could fill out an online form with them, and they sent us a backpack filled with like a little diabetes teddy bear and
wow.
all sorts of items and books and DVDs and stuff for Emily and stuff for
me. Well, they are funded, you know, people really do, because there are so many people with diabetes that,
oh, yeah.
you know, they certainly want to help the younger ones have it. So juvenile diabetes is really just a way to figure out how to do more with diabetes, you know, the
right,
money
exactly.
goes for everything, you know.
Absolutely.
It's very, it's a universal. It's universal.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so I think that you sound like, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of people, instead of going to support groups, they kind of just don't know what to do and they don't want to
yeah.
talk to other people. But it,
yeah.
for, I think that's good advice to give them, you know,
oh, yeah.
the support.
It, yeah.
yeah.
That was the best, I think that was the best thing. And I've gone for a long, long time. I mean, I went for probably a year, 2 years after her diagnosis to the support group meetings, because then other new people would come in, and there's always things changing, so it's always good to stay abreast of any new developments that are going on.
So, all right, so you reached out to people, and you went into blogging, but and you still are blogging, but okay, this is a big question that people, this is one question that everybody's blogging, but
yes.
We talked about this yesterday when I talked to you about the fact that commenting and things like this, and people are afraid that they have to join the group if they want to go into the blog, and really they don't. They can read the blog without ever, in a lot of blogs, without ever signing in.
Right, exactly.
So what would you say,
because exactly.
there's a lot of bloggers out there, and what makes your blog so successful, because you are successful with your blog?
Well, thank you. One of the things that I like to do, like I said, with my blog, and my blog is called Staying Sane in a Crazy World, and it's, you know, my passion is and always has been helping people in having gone through, you know, just a series of difficult situations, getting divorced, having to go back to work, having my girls, raising them, the diagnosis, all of these different things, now homeschooling on top of everything else. That's a lot to manage, but it can be done, and it can be done well. And that is the focus of my blog. Like, things could be totally crazy, but you can still maintain your sanity. You can still take care of yourself. You can still, you know, be organized. I mean, and I did it all through trial and error. I mean, there were times in the beginning where, you know, I would, you know, when my girls took piano lessons when they were younger, and the piano teacher would call or text me, and, you know, I'd be at the pharmacy and she'd say, can I come at this time? And I'd say yes, and we'd go rushing home, and she
yeah.
wouldn't be there, and she meant the next day, but we had a doctor's appointment. It was like that every
yeah.
day. And I just had to learn to really manage three schedules, manage all of the, because there were times, you know, where we would run out of glucose strips at night and have to run out and get those, and, you know, or the little glucometer, it wasn't working and malfunctions, or one time the insulin didn't show up. I mean, oh, how about this? One time we flew to New York City, this was just last year, and we got to the airport, we got through security, our plane was leaving in 20 minutes, and I realized that Emily's insulin was in the refrigerator.
Uh-oh.
So we had to have her doctor call a prescription of insulin into a pharmacy in New York City. So that's the type of
challenge. Well, that's
the
good thing about cell phones now. See, that's the thing. You know, you have so much, you know, like you don't go looking for a phone, you could at least contact people.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I have all of my numbers in the phone whether I'll only call people once. I have every pharmacy, every doctor that she sees, you know, email addresses, whatever I can get from these people so I can stay in contact. Because sometimes things, no matter how prepared you are, sometimes you're just going to forget and things are going to slip through the cracks. I couldn't believe that I was getting on a plane and I didn't have her insulin, but he called it in. It was fine. She was fine. It was no big deal.
These things happen, right? You know, but you know, this is a fear. You know, like certainly when you're going on a trip, you've got everything. You've got you've got the thing, and then you forget the thing you want to take home. You know, but you know, you're human. Okay, you know, when you're blogging, I want to ask you a little bit about this blogging because I know that this is a huge issue for people, and I have like 8 blogs, and I don't know why I have 8, but I do have 8 blogs, and I just because I do a lot of different things, and I'm kind of thinking that you know, I started doing it with writing, and then now I do it with the children's books, I do it with my romance books, and I do it for the show, and then Bethany, and I have one, which is a good one for the romance writers. So, like, you have one. Okay, so on a daily basis, do you check it, or what do you do?
I check it probably like on a weekly basis, and I check my reader stats, and I use a website, Weebly website. It's Weebly.com, and they're a really user-friendly website. I didn't have to go and design my own templates or anything. I just sort of use that. I have the blog feature. And I chose the upgrade. It's not a lot of money, but I wanted to see,
much is the upgrade? Because people sometimes when you say upgrade, they think it's a lot of money, but a lot of these upgrades are not.
No, if it was $50, I'd be surprised.
And that's it. And then you get more features. Is that it?
You get more features. Yeah, I can add video. I can add audio. I don't, but I could
Is it hard to do that? Is it hard on Weebly? Because I'm on Blogspot. You know, a blogger.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's really, really easy because they have so many templates already. So no matter what you're doing and you're trying to promote, you can use a template. And if you wanted to build your own, you can do that too. So it's just easy. It takes HTML if you know that coding.
Yep.
You could do your own sort of thing that way, or you can use their templates. And then if you have a blog, you just click on your blog page, and you can cut and paste from Word, or you can type right in there if you want to, and then publish it. It publishes it, pushes it out to Twitter, pushes it out to Facebook. You don't even have to market it. It does it all for you.
Does it do it by itself? I mean, you don't have to go in and say, you don't have to click anything, or it knows automatically to go to everything.
Yeah, well, you could say, you know, yes, go to Twitter, yes, go to. Yeah, sometimes I choose not to, depending on the content.
Right.
Yeah, what I want people to see or what I sort of...
Now, you mentioned when we were talking, you do mostly Facebook and Twitter, right?
Yes, to promote. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I do mostly Facebook and Twitter. I am on LinkedIn, and every once in a while, if it's a business-related blog, you know, I'll push it out to LinkedIn. One of the things that I really like about Weebly is the fact that I have a hidden password-protected page for a master's program that I'm in. And you keep a journal of reflections, or if I create something and I want to put it on a web page, but I don't want the whole world looking at it, it's just from my school program, I can put it on that page, and it's password-protected, and only my instructors can go and look at it, and then I can take it down.
That's good.
I like that about it. Now, you do have to pay for your own URL if you want your own URL. Otherwise, you'll have, like, your name and then .weebly.com or something like that. And I chose not to do that. So, but a domain name, you know, is like $45 a year.
See, I think that's one of the things. I mean, we've had people on and they say, you know, get your own, you know, what you should have your own, like, website. And so I naturally have all of this. I have Marcia Casper Cook. I have, you know, Michigan Avenue Media. I have World of Ink. We have the blogs. And, you know, it does get overwhelming, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you do have to pay for things, which is one of the things that, you know, you're saying that made it easier for you. I mean, even the fact of paying, like, $50, people don't realize that changes everything.
Well, it does, and it shows me how many readers I have every day, and it also shows me keywords that people are searching for, and it's also showing me...
So it has search engine optimization right in it?
In it. Well, you can even get more if you want, like, some kind of premium thing, which I I don't have that, but it'll tell you, it does give you a list every day of who's searching for what and how they found your blog, and also tell you other links. Like I saw Blog Talk Radio, somebody came on from Blog Talk Radio the other day, so you know, that was somebody that passed through to my website from Blog Talk Radio, and
Radio. I mean, they've been great with us because we're now featured hosts, so we get, you know, a lot of people from them, and now they're starting something new. Where I actually, Virginia and I, I emailed her yesterday. She hasn't been feeling good, but after we got off the show, I noticed something that Facebook and Blog Talk is trying to go, you know, help the people now with Facebook, and it's getting to be where everybody's starting to want to help each other because, you know, everybody wants more listeners, viewers, whatever, you know, on their site.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it works, but I think that, you know, sometimes not everybody can do these things. And I think that sometimes, like, I know that World of Ink, she offers things, Michigan Avenue offers things, we all are offering things now because I think that we're trying to tell people they can do it reasonably, and if they want help, because I know a lot of people, and I'm trying to help people that aren't going to charge them a fortune and nothing will happen.
Right.
So I'm always looking for things for people, and I'm trying things, and I'm constantly on there. And, you know, it's very interesting. We're all trying to do things, but, like, nobody wants to seem to spend, like, even $7 or $8 to do an ad. And these things are helping now. People to get out.
They are helping, absolutely. And if you have a product that you want to get out or you want to show up on page one of Google or whatever, you really do need to invest. It's just like anything because people out there are doing it. Now you're going to have to compete with them. So if you know, and the ads on Facebook, I don't think they're – I have not gotten one yet. I don't really have a need to. But if
because
I ever would,
it is helping people, right? But you're not selling, you know. And the good thing about you're not selling anything. That's the thing.
No,
you're
not.
And
I'm
you
not
wanted
mine.
To talk. I know you want to talk about some of the things that you're doing beside that. The 1 billion. You wanted to talk about
the 1 billion rising, which is coming up next month. And this is such a wonderful program. 1 billion rising was thought up by Eve Ensler, the author of The Vagina Monologues, and she has, you know, in her global travels, had just become aware of the violence towards women all over the world and just decided enough is enough, and she was going to do something to put an end to it. So she decided that on February 14th, Valentine's Day, called V-Day, women and men who have decided enough is enough with violence, we're going to rally all around the globe. Every city has a rising. Here in Richmond, we'll come together, and there's going to be drumming and dancing and just a real positive message saying...
Well, how do people get involved in this? Is there a website or, you know...
There's a website, yeah. There's 1 Billion Rising website that you can go to, and then you put in your zip code, and it'll tell you where your local rising is going to be, and it'll get in touch with that. And so I was involved from the kickoff meeting. I got involved through an artist friend of mine who knew Eve Ensler and was very passionate about and is very passionate about this program. And I'll blog about the rising and try to get involved and get the word out as much as I can. This is going to happen all over the world. I don't know if you noticed in January's issue of Glamour magazine, but Anne Hathaway, the actress, was featured on the cover wearing a 1 billion rising. Okay. Yeah, it was so cool. So, you know, the word is getting out, and as it gets closer to the date, there will be more. And we're going to have, like, a lot of events going around to raise money, different art exhibits and storytelling exhibits and things like that going on in our area. I'm sure all the major cities will have the same, as will all the countries around the world. And so it's just been
this is the years of women trying to now stand up for each other, and I think that's really good because we need to, because, you know, I mean, things have happened over the past, and, you know, I've had guests on the show that talked about, you know, abuse and things like that, and people don't realize when someone goes into a woman goes into a shelter, she doesn't even have a toothbrush. She has nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Absolutely.
They have nothing. They just leave, and that's it. They don't even have socks, shoes. They have nothing. They just walk out of their house. And then, you know, so I think those are all the things that people don't realize sometimes, that we as women, you know, should be helping other women, because if you're lucky enough to have a regular life, because they don't have regular lives, a lot of women.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it
Absolutely.
Takes a lot of guts to walk out of your house with
Absolutely.
Your kids and leave.
And all of the violence, you know, that is occurring
yes.
all over the place.
Yeah.
And just to be able to say, and what I like about it is it's just such a positive, if you look on Eve Ensler's website, the 1 Billion Rising website, you can see videos of people that are dancing and really making a joyful noise, but say, you know, we're not chanting and holding up signs and marching. We're saying, you know, in a positive
yeah.
way, pay attention to us because we are not putting up with this anymore. We're not going to support the television shows or the music that promote violence towards women. We are not going to laugh at jokes about violence to anybody on the internet. We're not going to share this stuff anymore. This is not funny to us, and we're not going to support it. But coming together in such a positive way is just so cool to me, and I was just so grateful to be involved in it.
Yeah, I think I'll go on that website. I think that, you know, I do feel that it's, you know, it really women, you know, we have a lot to offer, and sometimes, you know, we're not taken seriously enough, and, you know, and then there are women that are seriously hurt and bruised,
yes.
and nobody seems to realize that the families go along with them. You know, the children
Absolutely.
Are watching
this.
They're
watching, and then that's what they learn. Then they learn
yeah.
it, and it's
yeah.
another generation of violence after another. And
yeah.
so we're saying this is going to stop. It's going to stop here, stop now. But to do it, you know, to rise up, and I love that, rising. I love that
yeah.
term,
yeah.
rally in a positive way. Is just, it's so heartwarming for me and just so humbling to be a part of it.
Because I think, yeah, I think as women, that's a good thing. And I'm thinking, actually, you know, my character, Virginia Templeton, she's a very strong, powerful woman. And when I went into writing, you know, romance, I had written this character as a screenplay, but I didn't realize that what people were saying about Virginia Templeton is how powerful she is. It wasn't about the sex scenes or the romance. It was the power of this woman to
yes.
be able to make a decision and just go for it. So I'm thinking, yes, this is something Virginia Templeton would want to do. You know what I mean? Because it's,
yes.
you know, sometimes now, I mean, even I wrote the character, it has changed me in a lot of ways because I'm thinking, yes, she would like to do something like this because she believes in women, you know.
Right,
that,
absolutely.
I mean, she loves to be with men, but she believes in women of power and don't let somebody take over your life for you. You got to
exactly.
go out there and
that's
do
so
it.
That's so good because it's inspirational. Even fiction. How many
yeah.
times have you been inspired by a fictional character?
Well, I talk
you
about
know.
That all the time to people. They think I'm crazy. My friends, you know, I'm going like, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize a lot of the fiction that they read are really true stories of what happened to people.
Oh.
You know, where do you think
exactly.
they got this from? You know, these characters come from people. You know,
Absolutely.
and they're arguing. They think we're all crazy writers. You know, we talk,
yeah, right.
but they do. You know, any kind of writing, it's like, okay, you're creative, you're crazy. I mean, that's not true.
Yeah.
We're just thinking. Whereas, and this
right.
is important because as women, we are thinking of ways for us to be strong. And some people read the romances because in their own marriages, they're not strong, and so they
right.
wish they were like some of these women.
Right.
Could
and
do whatever
escape
they want to do.
Too. Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's so good to have these strong characters. And you're right, they have to come from somewhere. So it has to be inside of us when we create these characters and scenarios.
I maybe. You know, a lot of times I go like, okay, I would like to do some of the things that she does, not all
right.
the things that she does, but I want to be, you know, stronger like that, you know. And but it was such an interesting thing how people were like, you know, it wasn't the erotic part, it was the part of power. That she
right.
that she could actually make decisions and just do it, you know. And I
right.
think that as women, it's good if we could do these things, you know. And
Absolutely.
I think it is important for us. You know, they're getting some,
Absolutely.
Even on TV now, they're getting some strong characters of women.
Oh.
You know,
oh,
sometimes
yes.
they take them off. Sometimes they take them off.
Yes. I've noticed that, too, on some programs like The Good Wife, for example. And
yes.
some
yes.
mature women who are coming
yes.
on and having roles, recurring roles. And I'm
and
thinking,
I think it's
that's great.
Great.
Because these are
yeah.
so
and, you know,
talented.
They really are coming into, and, you know, the one, I don't know if they're going to bring Sigourney Weaver, as you know, back in her series, but her series was so good. She was so strong. I've been a little too strong.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, I don't know, I hope she comes on again. It was wonderful. You know.
Oh, good. I hope so, too. And they're so grounded, too. So it's like, wow, it's just... They
like, women can do all
so,
right.
Absolutely.
You know, but,
and I love
yeah,
it. I'm so glad to see it. I think it's a trend for this year.
Well, that'll be 2013, the trend of the powerful woman. All right. You know, so,
that's right.
Yes, I think so. Are there any other things? There's one other thing you wanted to talk about, Field of Dreams. I think you wanted to discuss
Field
that.
Field of Dreams is another partnership that I've
just you are really busy. I think I feel like I'm lazy talking to you. I'm thinking like, oh my god, I don't do anything. These are very good questions.
We have
a blog.
That's a lot.
Yeah. No, but I think this
is
really good what you're doing.
Thank you. Field of Dreams was created by someone who I met at a job assistance ministry when Circuit City closed down, and I got involved in a group that met at a local church every Wednesday, and he has created local gardens that provide food to local organizations and schools in Richmond, and they're going to have, well, they already have and will continue to grow the mobile farms process, so they'll take fresh fruits and vegetables into businesses. If businesses want to sign up and bring in fresh fruits and vegetables for their employees, develop wellness programs for the employees, going into the schools to provide salad bars with fresh Richmond-grown produce.
You know, well, this would be so good. You know, Jamie Oliver had a show on, and he wanted to do this, you know, and it's really important that kids have good food, but a lot of times what I've heard is that, you know, the foods that have the high in sugar and not that good for them, it's cheaper for the schools to buy. So
Absolutely. They
don't get, you know, and some kids, unfortunately, in America, they're not eating, you know, and
they're
don't have good
right.
meal.
Oh,
no, they're not no, eating.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so this is so important to you know, have the curriculum developed for the teachers, that the teachers can show the students can then go home, they know how to prepare certain things, even if it's just, you know, little things that they can start with, and have access to the fresh produce in the schools that is grown nearby, and hopefully they'll come out to the farms, maybe volunteer in the farms.
Now, does he have a website, or is it a website? Or
He does have a website, Field of Dreams is his website. And it's just
a
lot
lucky name
of
he
really
got. What a great name he got. Who thought that
it's
name would
awesome.
Even be available? Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. Gosh, and this is so good. I know. And it's just been so good. And he's really passionate about it. And so I like to partner with somebody that is this passionate. And you can see it coming through in their work and the stuff that he's willing to do to help people. It just helps so many people eat right and develop these wellness programs. I was just blessed to be able to partner with him and be involved in something like this.
So when you say partner,
like,
what are you going to be doing? What will you be doing?
Well, I'm going to be doing his blog for him. And, you know, we're going to be blogging on availabilities of the produce and what we're doing and events that are coming up, but also simple recipes that people can
You know,
use,
I'll be happy to, you know, if you want to attach, I'll be happy to put them on my blogs and on Pinterest, because I have a lot of things with good recipes, and I really want people to start eating better, because I really think if they start younger, they won't have a lot of the diseases when they get older.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
I
think
agree
that, I mean,
you
can't help everything, but, you know, some of the
right.
things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, can
That's
be,
great.
Can.
Thank you. I will take
so
you
So I'll
up
be happy to
that.
Take any blogs that you want to give, because I think that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, and I have a children's blog, you know, Emelina, Favorite Things. And so she, as a character, she's also trying to have kids eat right, because that's what the kind of character she does. She likes to eat right and she exercises, you know, and not that she's. You know, it's important, and she's friends with a little kid that loves to snack a lot. So, you know, she's always saying, Do you have to eat that? You know, and he's not paying attention to her, but he will. And sometimes he does, but, you know, I think that those are important. I mean, you've really got yourself attached here to some really important things.
That's why
I had you just on by yourself. I thought, oh, my God, no, I have her by herself.
Oh, good.
I wanted to
hear
everything you had to say. You know, I mean, because this is what we need to do as women, especially. I didn't know about the, you know, $1 billion. I think that that's a good thing with the monologue group. I know who they are, you know, the $1 billion. I didn't realize, you know, I've heard about this, and, you know, they talk about it, but now I'll definitely go in the blog. Because there's a lot of women that are out there that really need to feel support from other women.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And look how many things women do. I mean, like, look what you're doing, and look at all the things that women do. I mean, they really are out and on the top. I think women do a lot of things that I think people don't really realize how much women really do.
And it's important to be supportive, and it's important to, there's so much of the, you know, the envy and the hate on, women hate on other women on television and all in music and all of these things, and it's really important
have
to try to
have you looked
at
Facebook? Wait, have you, some of the Facebook things I'm reading, I'm thinking to myself, are they kidding? They're actually having fights on Facebook. They don't even know each other. I mean, I am shocked. I feel like calling them and saying, could you stop this? Because they don't even know each other.
Absolutely. There's just an article about how girls, young girls, are being shamed on Facebook publicly and what they're feeling and experiencing. And it was just out on NPR just last night. And, you know, this is becoming a big thing. So anything that we can do to give the power back to the younger girls and the young women.
The truth is it always was a big thing, but nobody was addressing it. And, you know, the fact is, that these young girls, they're watching everything that goes on. And, you know, we as women need to help them get a better attitude because, you know, they got a long way to go. And, you know,
feeling bad
about yourself when you start at 12 and 13, it doesn't always get better.
No, exactly. And then you'll find a way to make yourself feel good. And unfortunately, a lot of times they don't make good choices. So it's really important to be out there and provide a good forum, places for people, for them to go, things, inspiring things for them to read. And that's sort of, with my blog, what I wanted to do is sort of inspire women and show them, like, life can be hard sometimes, but there's always hope. And here's what I went through, and just try to pay it back a little bit.
I think, you know, you've been extremely inspirational. And I think, and one last thing before you go, you have a lot of inspirational books that, you know, from new authors that you have put on your site. And I think that, you know, maybe if we start inspiring women to just help each other instead of worrying about other things that we shouldn't worry about, you know. I mean, this is really a very interesting show for me because I'm listening to all this. You're not selling anything. And, you know, that's what I feel like sometimes all this marketing, it was last night, I'm saying to myself, you know, I've done this for years. Within the last month or two, all I do is look at the marketing. I never wrote like this. This is never was never my personality to be this way, to be out there marketing. I feel like a robot, and I feel like everybody's going in a circle, and they're not going anywhere. And I think maybe if they get involved in things like this, they might feel better about themselves.
Exactly. And it's sort of like not what's in it for me, but what I can put out there. I just have always been such a big believer in that. And, you know, God will always provide what you need. So if you have something in front of you that thinks this needs to be done, I'm just going to do it and have faith that everything else will fall into place.
Well,
they say, do what you love.
Absolutely. I do believe
do
in
what
that.
You love,
you know,
and
I do
money
think
will
you
come.
Can help yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, don't
and
let
it's
you
a good
know,
feeling.
Some, right. Because sometimes you can't wait for someone to help you. You have to do it yourself.
Exactly. You have to do it yourself, and trust.
Unfortunately,
that
that's how it is. I mean,
place.
I feel that way a lot of times. I go, just do it. You know what I mean? Even when I ended my book, my series, which I think I actually will go on maybe with another book with it, but I felt as I was writing the book, I was changing somewhat in her opinions, the character Virginia Templeton, and so my ending is a lot different than I ever thought it would be, but I was very satisfied with it because I left it at an ending where women could feel good about what they, you know, what they are, and maybe there
Absolutely.
Is hope, you know, and Absolutely. You can sometimes, if you're upset about things and people don't really realize it, sometimes if you get, you know, if something happens in your life to make you want to change, maybe sometimes you can. I mean, we can help ourselves change. Nobody
Absolutely.
Can change anybody
Absolutely.
Else. You have to want to do it. So I am
Absolutely.
So happy you came on today, and I hope you'll be a guest again. Because,
I would love
and if you want to promote things and if you want to talk about, even if you want to come on for a few minutes, just call me for the million, you know, for the billion dollar, when that is
rising, sure.
Because I think that will be a very, you know, interesting thing. And I think that, you know, the rising, I think if you want to come in February to talk about it, even for a few minutes to remind our, you know, listeners about this.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, you were great. I thank you so much. I cannot tell you, you know, how great all this was. I got a whole list of things I wrote down. That's the thing I tell people. I said, you know, I have the show, but I take notes and I write things down of what I have to do because I'm, you know, I have interesting people. You know, I don't want to talk about the same thing every day. You know, I get bored myself, so I want to have things that are new and different, and you certainly have a lot of new and different.
I agree.
And this was great. Thank you so much, and Bethany.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. And I mean that seriously. Anytime you want, and just call me. And even if you want to come on just for 5-10 minutes to say something, you're welcome to come on.
Awesome.
And
thank
I appreciate
you so much.
You.
I enjoyed it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And Bethany, I will probably talk to you on Fran's show, right?
Right. We have a show Thursday. Yes, Thursday at 4 Eastern. Yes.
Okay, and so that should be good. And thank you all. Wasn't this inspirational? I got so many notes.
It was. That was a great show, yeah.
She's incredible, isn't she? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God, it's good. This is really, I mean, I really do. I got, well, you know, I think it's really good to do this. I think we need to, as women, do it. So I total support of what she said. Really good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible what people can do during the day. Isn't it amazing?
It
other
is.
Than marketing, other than marketing.
You know that Field of Dreams thing that she was talking about? Me and my two girls have actually talked about doing like a community garden, you know, in our community. Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I think that was such a good idea. You know, so I'm going to go into that website, and I think we'll have some of these people on talking about this because this is very interesting. And, boy, this was really I knew when I talked to her, she had a lot to say. So, and I think that was, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that other people don't, but I'm thinking, like, the juvenile diabetes is such a huge issue, you know, and I think that, you know, having someone like her that does all these other things and dealt with it the way she did in such a positive way is so helpful to other women.
An inspiration.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you again, and thank you all for listening in, and it's been a really good show. See, maybe in the morning, look at, we're up early. I mean, I'm up and out early anyway, but, you know, actually it's good to start thinking early in the morning rather than my brain starts working at 2 when I should have been thinking at 8 in the morning. But this is kind of an inspiration to kind of like do a day thing where you're up the whole day and really thinking, you know, and not on the computer just looking for people to buy books because it's not working. So I'm going to – let's see if we can figure out some things that will actually help women – and actually, they'll probably sell books from it, but at least we could all, like, get together and do things. I think this is a fun, this was a very interesting show. So, all right, talk to you later. Bye, everybody. And I'll be on, next Tuesday, should say my show, Candy O'Donnell will be on and Bennett Pomeranz, and you will be on. And it's going to be a later night show. It's at 10 at Eastern. And it's going to talk about screenwriting. And this is going to be a great interesting show because that's one thing we keep saying we want to talk about, and as I am a screenwriter, one of the things that, you know, so I think it's going to be a fun show, and that will be at 10 o'clock at 9 Central, so the kids will be all sleeping, and that
hopefully.
And then we'll have a show. All right, bye everybody.